any hot dog. Yes, you know I couldn't look a cold dog in the face. Yes, I used to eat so many hot dogs. Well, you know I couldn't look a cold dog in the face. I'd eat some with chili and onions. Well, you know I'd eat some with tomato paste.
Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers. I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
No apron this morning.
You know what? I got so many shirts on, and with my coat, there was no room between me and my steering wheel for an apron this morning. I got to tell you, I am tired of this cold.
It is cold. Hey, we have a special guest this morning. So excited. Dulcie Taylor, welcome.
Good morning.
Everyone who knows Dulcie, which would be pretty much everyone, might be curious as to why Dulcie's a guest on a cooking show. But she has a very... I would say special talent for doing special talent for doing unusual things with restaurant to-go boxes, leftovers. You know, like, do you want to take the what you didn't eat home? And we've talked a little about that just briefly on a show before, and we thought it deserved more attention. Thank you, Dulcie, for coming in. I did share a recipe, but not the photo. I was faint of heart about putting the photo of your concoction, your slumgullion, on the North Coast Food Web website because...
Because it made you ill?
It looked like somebody already was.
What did you call it?
Slumgullion.
Slumgullion?
Oh, slumgullion. That is actually a thing. I mean, that is a slew. It is a stew-like. It is a real thing.
Yeah, I have
Although I think Dulcie's take on it is really original.
Okay.
And not necessarily the classic thing. So it just we could... I'm just going to... read the recipe for that particular
thing. Sent to you.
That you sent to me along with pictures before and after.
Right. While it was cooking and when it was finished.
That's right. And this was back in October. You combined from your refrigerator. If we ask the classic question, what three things are always in your refrigerator? I want to ask you that.
What three things are always in your refrigerator, Dulcie?
Hot sauce.
Okay.
Typically cheese.
All right.
But I'm lacking on cheese right now. And
clearly to-go boxes.
To-go boxes.
No, besides those. What's and, the third thing?
Typically, well, I guess there'd have to be some milk in there because Maggie always puts milk in her coffee, so.
All right.
Yeah, not much.
Okay. Not major cooking ingredients.
There's butter.
Oh, okay.
But God knows how long it's been there.
So in the in Dulcie's slumgullion, and you know I can't imagine that these recipes are necessarily reproducible because they're very specific to what you have that time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They could change. I mean,
that's right.
That was that day.
It's sort of food jazz.
Because we had been talking about how I take leftovers and make a Sunday breakfast out of it. So
yes.
I thought I'd share it.
Okay. Well, this one had leftover prime rib with big fries from the coffee house, dollop of cheesy gravy from leftover raclette, leftover McDonald's burger with fries, some stale Triscuits for fiber, hot sauce, because you always have some, and tap water, which it seems to be a standard ingredient.
Well, yes. Well, because... I don't cook very much at home, and so I used to cook a lot, but I don't have those ingredients to make a brothy thing. I had to make that up when I actually made stuff, well, from some leftovers for this past week when I was feeling cruddy and sick.
You had the bug.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, the community bug. You
and I had to use tap water because all I could find in my cupboard was one old chicken bouillon cube.
Yeah,
that wasn't crisp anymore. So I had and tap water and hot sauce and cumin. I have some spices.
And what were the
other things?
The bulky ingredients.
There was some white beans, little white beans that I soaked in the previous day.
Okay.
Like I prepared them.
Okay.
And leftover prime rib. I didn't put the potatoes in there because you guys had said one time that, or I read somewhere that starch makes things cloudy and not good. So I didn't put the mashed potatoes in there.
Okay.
And I had, on New Year's Day, I made pot stickers from scratch.
Wow.
So I had leftover vegetables, so carrots, celery, onions, garlic. I actually just put whole garlic cloves in it. It was delicious.
So you made bean and prime rib soup?
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, really.
My friend Georgia would be proud of you, and she's such a good cook because she says if you're going to make soup, you can't go to the store. It's like a rule with her.
Oh.
So I think she would be proud of you.
That's great.
I've been making.
I make soup. Rod and I make soup 3 nights a week for the warming center, and we are often making what we refer to as cream of pantry soup because
yes.
It's you take what you have
or what's going south.
Yeah, you might have to get a few things, but you always have something you can make soup out of. And actually, mashed potatoes are a really great thickener for soup.
I thought that might be true. Yeah.
Yeah. So, or for anything that needs to be a little bit thicker. Mm-hmm. That was actually a real recipe. I mean, not that you're Slumgullion.
It sounds so much better than Slumgullion. I'm sorry.
No, I don't take offense.
I like that you have cheese in your refrigerator all the time because you can always reheat a leftover and put cheese on it and then it's something new. Woohoo!
Yeah. That's right.
Cheese and hot sauce.
Do you, Linda, do you take, if you go out to eat dinner and you don't eat it all, do you take the leftovers home in a box?
Oh, yeah, always.
You do?
Well, we have 3 dogs. Then the husband, if he cannot come into the house, I mean, he would prefer to live in the shop, but it's really cold and it doesn't have a bathroom. So, but if he can take little containers out and there's a fridge out there, then he's really happy. So, yeah, I've never done what you've done. But I have made soup out of things that are left over.
Yeah.
And I do really like when I have mashed potatoes left over because when I put it in a broth, I like that kind of cream of potato soup thing that it does. And then I'll just put vegetables and ham or something in there.
Excellent. Well, I'll save my mashed potatoes next time.
Okay. So you say you used to cook and why do you think that you don't cook so much anymore? Is it like lack of time or just lack of interest or what do you think it is?
It's kind of both. I don't spend a lot of time at home during the last part of the week and those are typically the times that I eat out.
Mm-hmm.
So I take those home. I save them for the first part of the week when I am at home and then I make mysterious things out of them. Cooking for one is kind of boring.
I think it's expensive too.
Yeah.
So like to get
and
the ingredients.
And things go bad. And
yeah. Sometimes it's as cost effective to eat out, and certainly it's way more time effective.
I think the other thing about being a single person in a house, which I was for years and years, is that you miss out on the community aspect of eating with somebody or others, and so. If you go out to eat, then you have that part of the meal, which is important.
That is. That is
That's
a big
a really
part of
point.
It, actually.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that. But
yeah,
like on New Year's and actually on Thanksgiving, Maggie and I spent those days with ourselves. We actually invited some people over on New Year's but to share in the pot stickers. But I just chopped and cooked and she just stitched and it was like the perfect day.
Yeah.
But to do that by myself would be like, what's in the refrigerator? I can make Slumgullion out of.
Hey, I just, while you were talking, I looked up the derivation of Slumgullion.
Yeah.
Which it says it's a meat stew. That's the simple definition of it.
Okay.
But interestingly, this source says Slumgullion may not sound like the most appetizing name for a dish, but that's part of its charm. The word's etymology doesn't do it any favors. Slumgullion is believed to be derived from slum, which is an old word for slime, and gullion, an English dialectical term for mud or cesspool. Earliest recorded usage of Slumgullion in Mark Twain's Roughing It refers not to a stew, but a beverage. The sense referring to the stew debuted about two decades later, while there is no consensus on exactly what ingredients are found. But they did. I did find a recipe for Slumgullion, and my grandmother used to make stew and call it Slumgullion all the time. I mean, I grew up with that. But this particular recipe has elbow macaroni, ground beef, an onion, tomato sauce. They call for canned mushrooms. Why would anybody anymore? But if you're making it out of your pantry and you have that in your pantry, then don't go to the store, right? Garlic, pepper, stewed tomatoes.
Wow, that sounds just like what we call hot dish.
So, well, and in the picture looks like a beefy mac and tomato mac.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it looks like. And that's
mine looked almost like that.
I did not hear French fries in that ingredient list.
I have to admit, I added some, like the Triscuit and the McDonald's.
I added those things just to wig you out.
You were showing off.
I was. But I didn't know tap water would be like the most heinous thing that I put in there.
That was the one that made us all go.
All that stuff, but mushy.
It was ultimately mushy.
It probably just got the pan going.
Yeah, it was just
that. Oh, and you tossed a leftover biscuit on the side.
Yeah.
You had a leftover biscuit.
Yeah. To make it a meal deal.
So I was thinking about this morning or last night when you asked me if I'd come on. And, you know, when I was a kid, my dad, if we didn't like our food and we wouldn't eat it, my dad would mush it all together. And I didn't really care. I mean, I would eat it mushed together if I had to get away from the dinner table.
Yeah.
So it's more about flavor than it is about looks.
Okay.
Mushing things together, like my Slumgullion dish that I sent you with the picture that you thought was horrible and I thought looked delicious.
I thought it looked like vomit, really.
Oh!
It tasted delicious.
What happens when she doesn't hedge her words?
Oh, I told her earlier. Oh, I think I've told her every time we've discussed this. I got to say, though, that you're not one of the people who says we eat with our eyes first, I work with a fabulous person at the Food Web, Wendy D'Agostino, who runs our cooking class programs. And she always says that we eat with our eyes first, but that's clearly not a statement that encompasses every single eater.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
Yep.
So many of my friends, like cooking is kind of my hobby, but so many of my friends, they view cooking as work and they want to be, they feel they have to do it. They want to be efficient at it and they just want to get it done. And I wonder, were you like that at all when you cooked?
I would make the perfect prep cook.
Okay.
Because I love to like chop, 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 chop.
And... Well, see, I'm so impressed that you made pot stickers. I am. No, I mean, you know, by hand, that's a pretty.
Yeah, because you got to cut those things tiny.
Yeah and pleat
them.
In
there.
And,
yeah. Yeah. And I even have witnesses that they were delicious and they're still alive. Several.
Those are the two key things, you know, ratings for a food experience. It was delicious and I'm still alive. There you go.
If there is something that you didn't know how to cook, is there anything that you don't know how to cook that you want to know how to cook? Like, do you ever want to cook?
I'm kind of that person that looks at a recipe one time, and then I will do my own spin on it.
Okay.
So I look at your guys' website and listen to you guys on the radio and listen to your, and I just take the information that you give me and I just make it into Dulce.
Okay.
Slumgullion. I think about taking the classes at the Food Web. I love that you're doing them and everything. But I don't think I would play the way I'm supposed to.
Uh-huh. Okay. You know what might be more up your alley is Sunday Supper, which is not, it's a first Sunday of every month, and it is not a class, but it's rather just a let's all get together and cook so later we don't have to.
Right.
And we cook four or five, if we have time, entrees that everybody takes home, puts in the fridge or puts in the freezer, and then later in the week when you are, you know, like your friends who it's just a chore, mm-hmm. it's very efficient because yep. you go home with four nights
done.
Or four dinners.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
And you can do it for however many people you need to do it. But that's more of a community cooking experience as opposed to a class. And we do talk about how we're going to change it and what you would do if you were at home. So that might be more up your alley.
Yeah.
I might remind you about that. And I would remind everyone who's listening that they are listening to Food Talk, a production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming live and planet-wide at coastradio.org and on your mobile using the TuneIn app.
Well, I'd like to point out that I think that Dulcie is the perfect guest for this show because her name and the word delicious have more letters in common than I think pretty much anybody else in town, don't you?
Yes.
So that's perfect. And then also, like, I wanted to say about the Sunday suppers, one thing that's nice about that is that you're doing your food prep for the week, but you're also in a community setting. So not
yes.
just eating with people is pleasurable, but cooking with people is pleasurable.
Oh, and we
I
do
really
eat.
Like...
We do eat in that class.
Okay.
But I think cooking together is a huge community builder.
Yeah, I like being in the kitchen with people.
I love that actually
idea.
Think about the food we produce as just like the bonus. Oh, yeah. And by okay. the way, you go home with four dinners. But for however many people you have that you feed regularly. But I think it's the experience of meeting new people, having this fun, mm-hmm. funny, productive few hours together. And suddenly there's somebody you never met before that you see on the street and you can say hi and mm-hmm. you had this great experience with. So cooking together, yeah, I think it's like eating together. It's better done with someone
yeah.
else in, yeah. you know, in the room.
I have to. Like, I do eat out a lot, and mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll go to supper club, because sometimes I can only turn left when I leave my store, and I will see people that I know. I will go sit at the bar, and I will see people I know. Does that delight you?
Oh, my gosh, I can only turn left.
And they will invite me to have dinner with them. Because they think I'm alone.
Okay.
But really, I just want to be... Sometimes I just want to sit and eat my boom boom salad or something.
Decompress.
Yeah. And just, like, zone in my own head and yeah. my own space. And I'm delighted when people invite me. And often I do go have dinner with them. But sometimes it's just about the food and being one.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, except
but I'm
for...
But I'm sitting in a public place, right?
Yes.
And so you're odd yeah. to people.
You'd have to have a bag over your head if you didn't yeah, want yeah. people to...
Well, and I think that you're the exception. So many people are uncomfortable eating alone.
Right.
And I think that they're projecting probably what they feel on you, and they want you to be comfortable. I mean, it is, yeah. I think, far more people that are uncomfortable eating alone in a public place than are comfortable. But I always applaud people who do. I think it's great.
It takes practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to be uncomfortable doing it.
Okay.
And then you just find, like, one place that you feel comfortable in doing that, and then maybe you can expand it.
Add another
next,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am the worst person in the world about taking uneaten food home.
Really?
I always say no unless
okay.
I happen to be in an eating establishment where I see Dulcie across the room.
Right.
And then I say, yes, I'll take that box, and then I drop it off at her table.
Oh, my god!
On my way out.
Now, why don't you take it home?
Because I'm just not a – I will never do anything. I have wasted the packaging. And I would rather just waste the food now rather than later because it's going to wind up in the compost at my house. Although that might be a better thing, but I don't know what the balance is if I'm
between
using
packaging and compost.
Right. So, and I do know that there are several restaurants and maybe more than several in our world who save their table scraps for people who raise pigs or people who raise chickens or people, you know. So not everything is going directly into the garbage. I'm aware of that. So anyway, but I am just really bad about that. I enjoyed it once. I don't want to see it again. I try to cook the right amount of stuff when I cook so that I'm not having, unless it's something like chili or meatloaf or something where I can actually put it in the freezer and then go to it when I don't feel like cooking.
Okay.
But
she's very tricky how she drops off the box, too. She'll just like walk out and drop it on the table.
I haven't seen that and half then, a Reuben turn up in a recipe.
Sometimes if it's early enough, I will just eat the half of Reuben straight out of the refrigerator.
What? And not slum it up?
Yeah. I don't slum it up. I think I've forgotten to tell you, ladies, but I do get to go pick up my mug.
The magnanimous margarita.
We need to say this is a very important moment or part of some very important moments for North Coast Food Web because Dulcie Taylor chose North Coast Food Web as her nonprofit for the Magnanimous Mug fundraiser, which Fort George Brewery and Public House hosts every year. They host
once a year.
And it's kind of a, well, they host a fabulous fundraiser for a local nonprofit every Tuesday of every month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this one big one, community nominees, Dulcie being one, choose a nonprofit, and then they go out and raise funds like crazy for a couple weeks. And then the night of the event, Brad Blazer counts all the money, and whoever wins the fort matches those funds.
Right.
And because of Dulcie's hard work, the North Coast Food Web took home combined almost $39,000 this year.
Insane.
Yes, because you raised like 19.
One or something.
Yeah, and then the fort matched it. So we are, and every nonprofit keeps the money they make, and there was a lot of money made that night, $65,000, $68,000. Yeah. So thank you, Dulcie.
You're welcome.
It's so funny because every time I go into the food web now, they're all doing like backstrokes through dollar bills.
Yeah, that's us. Yeah. That's exactly what we're doing.
It was fun, but exhausting.
Yes.
And
but that you did that in 2 weeks.
It was and stressful.
Herculean.
But she gets the mug.
I get the mug.
And from day one, that's Dulcie was going like, all I want is the mug.
That is an expensive mug.
So does it have your name on it?
No, but it does have this special magnanimous woman from the magnet.
Oh, right.
That's why it's taken so long to get it because they had to like engrave it on there.
Oh wow!
And and I've seen a picture of it, but I haven't picked it up yet.
Oh, that's very exciting! We'll have to post a picture of you in your mug on the North Coast Food Web website. We will. Keep an eye out for that. I want to make sure that everybody knows that coming up on Thursday is the monthly River People Farmers Market pop-up market. It is at the Food Web building. It's warm and cozy inside during the winter. And I know that we're having meat, we're having cheese, we're having produce.
Hot sauce? No.
We're having George and Carol are bringing all their fabulous fermented, you know, kimchi and sauerkraut and stuff, jams and jellies. We're having a lot of very cool stuff. 2:30 to 5:30 at the North Coast Food Web, which is on 18th Street downtown Astoria. I know you don't have a pencil in your hand, so make a note. that Thursday afternoon you're going to come see us, and after this program you're going to go to northcoastfoodweb.org and get directions and full information.
Do you? I didn't know you're doing that every month or every week.
We're starting to do that every month now, year round. So in the winter, because we're doing it inside our little building, which is cozy and dry, we only have room for a maximum of 7 producers. But in the summer, we'll put some tents out in the back parking lot and have more producers. And we're just going to keep it at home and do it year round now in an effort to make us help us be of greater service to our local food producers and also to our SNAP recipients, because we offer a $10 SNAP match to folks on food assistance. So you spend $10 on your Oregon Trail card and we give you another $10 to buy fabulous local food. So if you're a SNAP recipient, come. If you're a foodie, come. If you just want to support local agricultural economy, come. And also, if you just want to eat some really good food, come, because the Food Web puts out a fabulous buffet that is complimentary, so that you have something delicious to keep the wolf at bay.
Do you have the Chev Cheese Lady come?
Yes.
That's so good. Is that?
I think that this, we are temporarily in a Chev Cheese moratorium because of goaties being, I guess there'll be more in February. There's going to be a whole lot of baby goats February. Mm. But we do have their fabulous marinated feta and their cajeta in all the flavors, that really wonderful caramel sauce that takes 12 hours to make and comes in like apple bourbon and cinnamon and vanilla and classic cajeta.
No. I was just going to suggest that that jalapeno chef could work as a hot sauce.
that would count. There's a couple things I wanted to point out. It's Martin Luther King Day.
Yes.
His favorite foods, in case you were wondering and you wanted to cook something in his honor, were fried chicken, collard greens, black-eyed peas, and pecan pie.
And we have all of those things in the dead of winter. You can get local collard greens. Fabulous. I love collard greens.
Yes.
And so you have to be patient about those.
Yes, yes. If I think I've done my lifetime's allotment as a child. Whenever my dad would shoot a bear, we wouldn't know, but he'd come home and he'd get out the bear rendering pot, and we're all like silently, no, because we knew that the bear and the collard greens would be cooked the same amount of time, which was like a week.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I'm kind of off of those. But all the others sound good. He also liked pickled pig's feet, but I wasn't going to mention that because I'd already talked really bad about Gullion, and I didn't want to talk bad about two things in one show. And then the other thing is that Chinese New Year is coming up, and that's another chance to make pot stickers again or to do something of an Asian flair.
You know, we should talk about, let's do Asian next time.
Okay.
Let's do, even though it will be post Chinese New Year.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
It's like a horseshoe game. Kind of close.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We'll take a few less points.
So
I'm trying to think what else I want to remind people of that's going on at the Food Web. And we've got the Sunday Supper is coming up on the first Sunday of February. I can't remember what the date is. That's terrible.
Do you have soup classes?
We have soup classes coming up this week, and I think there might be a couple places left. You need to go to northcoastfoodweb.org, click on the calendar, and look at all the classes that are coming up and see what you'd like to do. I also want to remind you that our classes top out at 10 people because we actually cooked. You don't sit and watch somebody talk about cooking. You actually cook, and that's how many workstations we can have. But out of every class of 10, we have at least 2 scholarships. So you don't have to go through a massive routine to get a scholarship. You just have to call, talk to Wendy, tell her you need a scholarship. And if there's still one available, it's yours. So soup, it's a 3-week series, and you can do one or all of them. And we're going to make a couple of fabulous soups every time. And then we're going to sit down and have soup and salad and fresh bread.
Use tap water?
You know, we might actually have to use some tap water. We'll make a Dulce memorial soup. Yes, we might actually have some tap water. Want to remind you, coming up at 1 minute after the hour. John Stevenson is in the house to bring you Lost Highways right after NPR News Headlines, which comes on at 1 minute after the hour. Last thoughts, girls?
Dulcie?
Food is good.
Oh, food is good.
In all its permutations.
That's right. Grow it. Grow a little bit of it. Cook a lot of it. Eat some good food. Eat some good local food. Know your farmer. Share some food.
I had an excellent dish yesterday.
What?
Frito pie.
Oh, that's such a great Texas thing. Where did you have that?
Mr. City Manager invited us over for
Frito pie. And nice. He's a Texan.
Yeah.
Yeah, Frito
pie. It was delicious.
Pie. It is absolutely delicious. You know, recently I got tired of making soup for Warming Center, and I made tuna noodle casserole, which, you know what, if you forgotten how delicious that can be with sautéed mushrooms and everything. Mm-hmm. Yummy.
Even with cream of mushroom soup.
It's casserole.
It reminds me of grandma.
Yeah.
Then that's my parting word, casserole.
Casserole. It's winter. Mm-hmm. Soups and casseroles.
Yeah.
Come cook with us on a Sunday supper and we'll make soups and casseroles for you to take home with you.